My name's Alison and I'm an addict. I hope everyone can hear me. And I'm very grateful to be here. And thank you, Chris, for your share. And thank you for going first. And Roz for taking the meeting and things. And I'm very nervous. And I've sat here the last few weeks sort of watching people do shares and thinking about doing this because, you know, Roz is very efficient and she's sort of well, you know, organised, booked up. And thinking, of, you know, it'd be me soon. And I saw other people, you know, were nervous and things. And, you know, and that's what I'd say, you know, I'm nervous here too. But it's, you know, it's my privilege really to be here. And I hope, you know, that I can share some of myself in an honest way. And, you know, that it will, you know, give something to the meeting tonight, you know. You know, and it's the least that I can do, really, you know, for everything, you know, that I've been given. And, it, you know, it's being part of, and it's what this fellowship has given me, really, is, you know, I'm no different, you know, I'm a human being. And, you know, when I come in here or I share my things or I'm in, you know, I've been in the fellowship for 17 years now, and which is hard to believe, really. I mean, when I first came in, I spent about 9-10 months of my early recovery in institutions, and people used to come in and visit, and you know, they'd have like the, you know, the year key ring, you know, and to me that was just extraordinary. It was like, you know, not to use for that amount of time, you know, it was just beyond, you know, my comprehension. And you know, it was interesting here tonight as well, because we came in at 6:30 and I was sort of like really frightened I'd be late, so I was sitting opposite, you know, from about 6 o'clock, and I saw all these people going in and out. I thought, well, that's not, maybe I've got the wrong day, because I went to a job today and I'd got the wrong day. Well, they'd given me the wrong day, I think, I don't know. But, and I thought, oh my God, you know, am I sort of completely, you know, all off the wall? And I saw these people going in and out. We came in and there was a party, this Christmas party going on with beer and, you know, there's all the balloons and, you know, all their mince pies and everything, and someone playing the guitar, you know. And so I thought, great, a result, you know, I can get out of doing the chair, you know. And then I found myself going into sort of automatic pilot and thinking, shit, you know, we've got to get this together. You know, there's going to be 100 people coming here, so, you know, Roz needs some support. We need to kind of get the chairs out, you know, and it sort of happened, you know. But I felt a bit like Scrooge, you know, at Christmas, you know, hey, party's off, turn on the lights, you know. But, you know, so we're here and the meeting's taking place. And, you know, I love this meeting. And, you know, I get an awful lot from it. And I'm really glad, you know, that it's been set up. And, you know, I just love it. It's great. And I come here most Fridays. So I'll try and, you know, share my experience, strength and hope. And, you know, some of, you know, my background of, you know, from where I am. You know, a bit about my childhood, you know, not much, but, and, you know, my using and how I got here. And, you know, what's worked for me in recovery, you know, what's helped me stay clean and different experiences that I've had. But I'll say here and now, because I get afraid of myself. I think, oh my, because I can have a tendency to get on one subject, you know, and I'm a bit of a chatterbox, you know, even though I'm frightened about talking, once I start, you know, I'm off. You know, and I couldn't describe in words, it would take too much time, what I've been given from in here, you know. And I just wanted to come in. I didn't even actually want to stop using. I wanted to stop using some drugs. I wanted to stop being fucked up. I wanted the mayhem to stop that was in my life. And at times, I suppose, I didn't even really want that. You know, at times, you know, I just wanted to sort of, you know, die. It was those kind of self-piteous prayers, you know, in the early hours of the morning, you know, wishing, you know, that I wasn't here. And at the end, you know, my using was like that. You know, it wasn't in the beginning, but it was, you know, it was just sort of a slow suicide, really. But, I mean, I was just overdosing and overdosing and overdosing at the end. And I was just like, I'd wake up and it would be like, I don't know how to describe it, but maybe people know. I'm sure people know what I mean. I don't know. But it was like, I didn't know if I was going to wake up or not. And when I woke up, you know, I didn't know, you know, if I wanted to be there at all. And I'd be hit, the drugs stopped working at the end. And I had all the shame of all the things that I'd done and, you know, past recollection, you know, trying to piece together what had happened, you know, the night before. And, you know, and I just go, off. That was what I did. Run. You know, run. And, you know, and I mean, I didn't know this stuff till I came in here. I didn't know I was running away, you know, from myself, you know. But anyway, basically a bit about me. So my family, the illness is, I hope people can hear me. The illness is like really, really ripe in my family. It sounds like sort of animal trying to scratch in or something. But, you know, it's just everywhere. It's riddled with the addiction, you know, alcoholism, gambling, you know, eating disorders, workaholism, you know, abuse on every level, you know, sexual, physical, emotional, you know, the lot, you know, is in there. And I was brought up in that. But there was also a lot of, you know, very positive things as well, you know, sort of really lovely people just taken down by this disease. And, you know, there was a lot of love and there was a lot of laughter. You know, there was all that stuff, you know, in there as well. And I have some very, you know, positive, you know, early memories too. My real father, he died. Oh, it's quite still a bit nervous. But my real father, he died before I was born. And I don't know whether it's true, my mum's an alcoholic, but supposedly I was conceived, you know, like the night before. And he was 25. And he was electrocuted. And, you know, it was a very sort of strange, I've come to terms with it, but it was a very sort of, for me, a strange way, you know, to come into this world. And in my family, you know, anger is okay. You know, you can kind of, you know, around a bit and all this stuff. But, you know, sadness and grief and stuff like that. And, you know, pink elephants, like there's a whole herd of pink elephants, you know, in the room. And, you know, it wasn't really talked about a lot. And, you know, I don't really know and I don't really care really, you know, with the addiction. You know, I just, all I know, my experience of it was, you know, I always, you know, okay, it was later, you know, that I picked up, you know, drugs. But, you know, I was just, that feeling of having an addict, you know, that I have today, and the program is my solution, clean, you know. I always felt, you know, like that. And, you know, I felt separate and alone. And a lot of the things, you know, that you hear people talking about, I had a lot of shame. I mean, when I first went into treatment, one of the counsellors, she said to me, you know, you've got shame right down to your boots. And I mean, I did have. But I mean, I didn't really know what shame was. You know, I didn't know, you know, what shame was. I couldn't differentiate, you know, shame from guilt. You know, guilt for me is when I've done something, you know, that is inappropriate, or I don't like the words right and wrong, but, you know, wrong for want of a better word. And shame, you know, is about, for me, is about my self-worth, how I feel, you know, about, you know, myself inside, you know, the inside job. And, you know, so that was that. And, you know, I'm Scottish, and I've always lived down here, you know, but my family are all Scottish, and I was born up there and stuff. And my mother came back down, my grandparents had moved down here, and I lived with them. And sorry, I was getting upset. My grandma brought me up, and she died this year, in January. And you know, she was just an amazing person. And you know, so it was my grandmother and my grandfather. My grandmother I called Mum. She was like a mother to me. And my mother, who was, you know, kind of right on sort of addict, really. You know, so You know, so that was it. So there was kind of all this sort of stuff there. And, you know, I share that because if, you know, I mean, I don't know, but if there's anybody, I was sexually abused as a child as well. And my mother was very violent as well. And, you know, I say that not, you know, to be, you know, inappropriate or whatever, but it's, you know, if there's anybody in here, you know, that's come in that, you know, has that or that's, it is possible to go past that. And I have, you know, and it's healed, and I'm very, very, very grateful for that. And sort of in early recovery, you know, that's mainly what I really wanted, was to be past that and free of it. You know, and to be clean, you know, because I was acting out all over the place, you know, with it. You know, I was full of anger. I was like raging. And, you know, also I had to face up that, you know, in my using, I had become, you know, I don't like the word abuse, but I don't know another one, but I'd become very abusive as well. I was very aggressive. I was in, you know, fucked up relationships, for want of a better word, but they were, you know, they were at times, you know, violent. You know, and I was, you know, verbally and things, and I used to throw things, and I used to think, you know, because I'm a woman, you know, because I'm not a guy, you know, that's not scary for people, you know. And I realised, you know, and when I went through the steps and when I looked at things and, you know, when I owned my stuff, you know, that was. And my boss told me before I came in, because at work I was quite like that. I ran a section of a company, and he said, "They're, you know, they're frightened of you." And I said, "You know, I mean, I was the most frightened person in the whole world, you know." And you know, I just couldn't see myself. But you know, so that was that really. And you know, materially, it was very comfortable. You know, it was very comfortable. Material things were used a lot as a substitute. For parental, you know, for not being there, you know, really. So there's a lot of stuff that I've had to unlearn, you know, around that. And in recovery, I've been brassic most of the time, you know, so I've seen it, you know, my life experience has been both. And I'm really glad for that, you know. Sometimes it's been very difficult, you know, financially, but I've always been okay. Always been okay, you know. I've always been able to get to a meeting. You know, I've always had food or a roof over my head. You know, and at times, you know, I've sort of thought those things were going to go. But I've always been okay. So, you know, I went away to this boarding school, and, you know, I found that quite difficult. But in a way, I can see now, it was sort of like a lifesaver, you know, that my higher power, you know, it was me that removed myself from my higher power, was always, you know, in my life. And I spent a while, and I had a very positive experience in this convent with these nuns, and it was in this, you know, big old house, and they were going to close it down, so the pupils just got less and less. There were about 20 of us left at the end. But for me, it gave me, you know, spiritually, I'm very eclectic. You know, one of my favourite sayings is, you know, we're not, what is it? I'm not very good at sayings, but we're not human beings trying to be spiritual. We're spiritual beings trying to be human beings, or however it goes. But, you know, what those people gave me, you know, I've gone back to time and time again. And, you know, because it was so crazy, you know, in my home, you know, there was sort of, you know, parameters, you know, like boundaries and, you know, disciplines and stuff like that, you know, like bedtimes and stuff, you know, doing homework or whatever, which, you know, I just didn't have with my mother. You know, my mother was, you know, a party girl. She let me do, on one hand, she let me do whatever, you know, whatever I wanted. There were no boundaries. And on the other hand, she was like really, 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 really strict and could kind of, you know, boom, 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 give you a good thrashing for kind of like tiny little things. So it was all very erratic. So, you know, and I still have connection with those people, and, you know, it's an important thing that happened in my life. And I then went to another place, which I kind of hated. It was kind of pretty difficult. And, you know, I began, you know, I was like the little kid at the back. Glue was the first thing I started, you know, with my friend at the bank, Dougal, she was called. We used to sit there at those funny old desks, you know, and I discovered glue, you know. And I don't know how old I was, 11, 12, whatever. You know, and then as I got, you know, sort of older in my teens, and I was sort of given alcohol as well, you know, very young age, and then started nicking it, you know, at the drink thing and whatever, taking it back to school in shampoo bottles and all this business, you know. And then, you know, I kind of heard about drugs. You know, I'd got hold of the drug nicotine, which I toy with. I find I'm still smoking. I'm sort of on and off all the time. But, you know, and I just couldn't wait to use. I didn't know it was called using, although I just couldn't wait to sort of use. You know, at first I used to sort of look at the, you know, the sort of drinking and stuff, and, you know, I just kind of wanted to grow up and drink and smoke and use and go out with men and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, but I was sort of very, very shy. And found it quite hard to mix with people. You know, I was kind of, you know, just to be me, you know, which is what such a godsend in recovery. Like, it's okay, I might be nervous now, but I haven't got to pretend, you know. It's that to thine own self be true, which is one of the best things, you know, that this, you know, that I, you know, on the, I love it, you know. And, you know, I've sort of lost myself there. But, you know, that was the sort of course, you know, of my using, really. I find using quite difficult to talk about. I don't know why that would be, being an addict, but, you know, I do. But, and I went to, I was in the sixth form, and what happened once I came out of being shy is I kind of went into rebel, and I was just kind of very disruptive, very rebellious, very naughty, you know, kick the establishment, you know, anything that could go against the grain. And, you know, I kind of found my way of belonging that way, you know, that I could, you know, be popular or you know, or whatever. But I was always in, you know, in trouble, always, 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 you know. And then it began, you know, drinking, smoking, da-da-da-da, which, I mean, you know, I'm not a teenager, I'm, you know, not ancient, but I'm quite old, but in the environment I was in those days, it was kind of like, you know. But, and I wanted to get hold of drugs, and we went to school. It was out in this kind of tiny village, and we found this guy that had drugs in the village, a friend of mine did, and I thought, oh, I'm going to get them, you know, I'm going to go and try drugs, you know, off, you know, it was exciting, so sort of escaped across the fields, and we couldn't find this friend. My friend and I went, we couldn't find these other two girls, you know, we'd been plotting this for weeks, you know, it was like, you know, exciting, you know, it was actually going to happen. And we went back and we couldn't find them, and they didn't come back and they didn't come back and they didn't come back. And these girls, they'd obviously, you know, schooled, we didn't call it school then, the environment we were in, we were kind of in, you know, gym slips and whatever, you know, but, you know. But, and she got killed on the road, she was stoned, and it was dark, and they'd lost sense of time. And, you know, and I had to say, you know, where I'd known she was being, and I was shit, you know, stuff. But what I did with that is, you know, once I'd kind of got my ass off the line with it and whatever, and, you know, of course I was kind of devastated, you know, my friend had been killed, but, is I just kind of, you know, shut it down. And, you know, I was very, 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 very good at that. Very good at disconnecting, you know, and I've had to, it's almost like, you know, is almost like slowly, slowly being put in the freezer in my life, you know, like turning into this great big, you know, ice cube. And then in recovery, you know, unfreezing, you know, and I'd always be frightened, oh my God, you know, I mean, it sounds really pathetic, but when I was first clean, you know, I was terrified of my feelings. You know, I didn't know that. But, you know, it's worked for me, You know, it's just being honest and sharing it and doing the stuff that we do and finding people that I felt safe with and you know, and hearing myself. And, you know, slowly I unthawed, you know, and slowly, you know, I have a point of reference that, oh, okay, I've been through that and I've stayed clean. Whatever happens, I don't have to pick up. Nothing, you know, and I have to pick up. And, you know, and I was told the thing, you know, like the first year, it's all the firsts. And I thought, all the firsts? What are they talking about? What do you mean all the firsts? I've done this and I've done that, because I was very arrogant. But it is. It was the first time that I'd done things clean, you know. Like basic things, you know, if you put it down, I suppose, if you're being really, you know, like to having a bath, to, you know, maybe going to job, to having sex, to maybe talking in an honest way, do you know what I mean? Every single little thing, you know, just doing it, you know, without being off my face. And I used everything, and they used to call it kind of cross-addicted. And when I first came in, it was more compartmentalized. It wasn't so acceptable, you know, to talk about all the things in but now I don't feel, you know, it's like that. But I sort of, you know, I'd started very young when I was with eating disorders and stuff, and you know, for me, starving, you know, was like being high. Binging and being sick was like being stoned. It was like using dope. And I sort of really, it was just, I just had everything going, you know, bulimia, anorexia, drug addiction, alcoholism, you know, workaholism, sex addiction, you know, men, everything, you know, shopping, I forget that, shopping, very much shopping, and my job was shopping. I shopped till I dropped, you know, literally dropped. So time's going on, I'll fast forward. I have a tendency to do that. But basically, fast forward. So I came out of this kind of very strict all-girls environment, you know. I was 19, you know, still hadn't... you know, I'd led a very... sounds but protected, do you know what I mean? It was very, very protected, and I used to do a lot of ballet, and I, you know, wanted to be an actress and things like that, and that's where my dreams were, you know, in creative stuff. And I sort of came out, and my family wanted me to go and study law, so I did, because I didn't really have enough. You know, I mean, I was bullied into it. I mean, I don't want to blame. Also, my mother remarried when I was about 6 or 7 as well. I went to live with my mother and my stepfather. You know, and I just didn't really know what to do with myself. I was always a bit lost, but deep in my heart, you know, that was what my sort of dream was. So... anyway, I sort of thought, oh, well, I'll do it later, you know, I'll do this. And to be honest, I just wanted to sort of get out of this kind of, you know, all-girls environment, you know, blah, 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 and sort of just get out there. And I did, and I went to college, I started studying law. I used. Okay. And... drank a lot, and I was terrified of other people, especially sort of the male sex, but I was very interested in the male sex as well, because, you know, I thought that might fix things, you know, I had all the stuff around that. I'm not going to go into it in detail because there's too many men in the room, but, you know, I'm not going to be dishonest about it. You know, I had that thing, and I know a lot of women do in the rooms, you know, it's... but I was also kind of angry, you know, with men as well. You know, I'd had all this sort of, you know, my dad had died, my granddad abused me, you know, da, 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 I had all this stuff. But, so, you know, for me, you know, going up to the bar and getting that thing, you know, shoved through, you know, vodka, and then I thought, then I can communicate. And I used to go out with the guys, you know, that had the drugs and stuff. You know, and that's what I did. And then You know, it kind of worked. I used to get into a lot of trouble and I used to do awful things. I mean, when I think about it now, it makes me sort of cringe, and I treated boyfriends really badly and I was always causing scenes. And but, you know, like, some of it was at that stage, which maybe people can identify with, where, you know, you could have a bit of a laugh about it, you know. But it, secretly, you know, when I went home, you know, some of it I used to feel really ashamed about. You know, I had to use drugs to, you know, do everything. I had to use drugs to use my, you know, virginity. I had to do drugs to do my exams. I had to do drugs to go out. I had to do drugs to get up in the morning. And my mother had shed loads, absolutely shed loads. And she had this cabinet in her bathroom. It was long, it was about as long as this table. And, you know, it was like DF118s and stuff. And I used to just kind of, you know, nick all those as well. And a lot of the time, I didn't know what I was using and I didn't really care. Sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't, you know. And it was also that drug thing, you know, you're sitting around with people and you're starting to use drugs and you don't want to be uncool, you know what I mean? I don't know what that is or whatever. But it didn't really matter, you know. You know, it didn't really matter. And so I just did that, and I got thrown out, and I was the only person in... I passed the exams, but they threw me out because I was never there. You know, because I was just, you know, doing what I was doing. And so basically, I'll move on a bit. I'm talking too much about my using, which happened. But basically, I left there, I went to the East, modelling, different stuff that came up. As soon as I got, like, a contract or something, I'd go, because I was frightened, in a way, of success too. And then I landed in the fashion industry. And so I sort of took to it like a duck, like water. It fulfilled my kind of creative needs. You know, I loved fashion. You know, I loved the people. You know, it kept my family quiet. It was sort of so-called, you know, kind of proper job or whatever. So I kind of went through that and, you know, I designed my first collection and, you know, used a lot of drugs, had an affair with my boss, you know, caused mayhem. and I sort of travelled a lot. And the drug use just went on. It just went on and on and on. And the bulimia as well. And, you know, I was getting, you know, quite unhappy by this time. You know, I was in my 20s. And woo. But I kind of, suddenly I thought, you know, I'd found something that would fix me. And I thought that if I could be successful enough, if I could make enough money, if I could eat in the... I hate saying this, I want to cringe, but it's not where I am now, but it was where I was then. You know, if I could eat in the kind of hip place to be, you know, which, you know, or, you know... I hate, you know, the kind of jet-setty stuff, then I would be okay. Then I could keep everybody away. Nobody could hurt me. I'd be self-sufficient. You know, I'd get approval, all that kind of stuff. And it just got more and more and more and more painful. The more successful I got, the more pain I had inside. The more stuff... it was just like the more there was around me, that, you know, that there just wasn't, you know, anything inside. And, you know, I was still a spiritual being there. You know, I had some kind of connection. You know, I believe that was there all my life. And, you know, I had many rock bottoms. And, you know, I got promoted, I got fired, I got, you know, called a square pig. You know, people got cleared off a buying floor. I ended up buying for a retailer and setting up a chain of shops where I worked for quite a few retailers. And you know, I remember them clearing the buying floor one day, and I'd got fired, you know, and they sort of clear you off quick, you don't hang around, you know. And they just sort of said, you know, Alison's got to go, and she, you know, she's a square peg in a round hole, you know. And I can still remember it, you know, to this day. And I was really, really paranoid, you know. And I was traveling all over the world and, you know, very desperate and lonely in these amazing places, on the floor, throwing up, overdosing, feeling like shit and wanting to die, basically. That's how it was. And I was very, very lucky. I went to work for this amazing company, and I thank them to this day, really. And it was a couple of years, and I started setting up this chain for them, and it was kind of my baby, this thing, and it was my dream come true. I'd got to where I wanted to come to in my field, and you know, I kept trying to hide, you know, the drug use. I didn't think anybody knew, and you know, and I was, you know, at the end, I couldn't even write out a thing. I was just going like this, you know. I was completely, completely in a mess, and a designer that was working for me, she had cancer and she was only really young, and I thought, I can't say anything. She's really young. She's 21. And I started seeing a therapist, and they were saying I was an addict, and I was like, you know, I was just, I was struggling. And, you know, they were just trying to 12-step me, these people, 12-step me, 12-step me, 12-step me. And, you know, I was being told it was an illness, and I thought, it's not an illness, I'm just a bad person, I'm horrible, I'm dirty, I'm unclean, I've fucked up. You know, if people could only see what's inside. And I thought, how can I say anything? Because they wanted me to go into a treatment. And I said, I can't do that, you know, I can't go out of work for that amount of time. And, you know, she's really ill, she's got cancer, she had it on her face. And, you know, one thing led to the other, and I bumped into this woman, and my friend ran personnel, and she was quizzing me. They obviously knew I wasn't okay. And I started talking to her, and I told her. And she said, come and talk. And it was like the main bosses in the morning, and I thought, shit, that's it. I'm going to get fired. They know. And I went in, and I said to them, but I didn't say about the drugs, you know, I said alcohol and eating disorder. And my boss said to me, you're an addict, aren't you? And I went, well, yeah. And they said, go away, go and do what you need to do, get better, and come back. We'll pay you while you're away. We're behind you all the way. We can't thank you enough for what you've done. You're very, I can't say what, but, you know, nice things, positive things about me. We've had this happen to people before. They had companies in the States. We've had to dry out buyers and da 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 da. Go away, get better, and come back, and we're behind you. And I couldn't believe it. And no one, and I don't mean this in a self-piteous way, had ever done that. And that partly helped me stay clean. And then when I came into the rooms, I got that in these rooms. You know, it was just a complete different point of reference for me. And I went, and it was just such a relief, because I was just so trying to hold it together. I mean, at the end, you know, if there were company things, and I was such a workaholic, my whole life was work at that point. It's not now. In fact, I could do with some work. Really could do with some work. But, you know, I came in, you know, with Christmas parties and stuff, and I was kind of, you know, just collapsing in the middle of the room with people walking over me, you know, from other, you know, other, you know, it was humiliating, really humiliating. So people kind of knew. They knew big time. And, you know, so it was a sort of relief in a way. Well, not in a way, it was a big relief. And I went in, and and I went in as well, because I kind of quite fancied the therapist I was seeing, because he was like, you know, if you go there and da-da-da, and I thought, you know, and he was like 12-step. And, you know, I used to get these kind of things about men. Still do sometimes. Okay, yeah. Sorry, I can't believe I just talked about it. But basically, I've done what I normally do. But basically, you know, I came in and... you know, it was a very different fellowship then. I was talking to somebody earlier about it. You know, when I came out, when I started going to meetings and stuff, and I went to a halfway as well, you know, there were sort of very, very sort of few meetings. And I think 5 years clean was the longest clean time. And I remember sitting in a meeting and watching someone go up, and, you know, they had a birthday cake. And, you know, get their 5-year this cake, you know, with all the candles on, and it was this meeting, you know, like off the King's Road, and I was like terrified clean, you know, like the girls that had come out of halfway before me said, "Are you really frightened, you know, and you're looking for a sponsor and stuff?" I said, "No, I'm not frightened." You know, I was like, yeah, I am actually, I'm really scared, you know. And I gave up everything. I resigned from my job because I was so long in retreat treatment, and you can't have a shop when you haven't got a buyer because there's nothing in it. And I wasn't the only one, but, you know, it was a major part. So I left, and so I'd given up, you know, kind of, you know, everything was gone, you know, that I knew. And, you know, and I took commitments and stuff like that. And, you know, and I kind of went through the steps, and I'm sort of aware, there's just 5 minutes, I feel I haven't really talked properly about recovery. But I'll say a few things about the steps. I do a lot of step work, and I'm going back through them, and I'm doing another step three. My sponsor and I kind of just let go of each other, so I'm looking for a sponsor, so I'm sort of a bit in limbo land with that at the moment. But, you know, one thing with my step three, you know, at the moment is that I saw really clearly, and I've looked at it 100 times, is it says the care of God, you know, the care of God. And, you know, sometimes I've found that difficult to understand. It's been a very slow process with me. And, you know, so that's sort of one of the things where I'm at with that now. And also one of the things I'd like to say as well about step one is this powerless business. I didn't like being... I thought, I don't want to be powerless, you know. And... you know, I thought I'd be left without any power. And the one thing that I have loud and clear, which I took me ages and ages and ages to get, and this year has been really amazing with that, since my grandmother died, is that by being powerless, I am empowered. And the enormity of that spiritual empowerment that I have inside, I cannot describe. And... you know, the sort of spiritual awakenings that I've had. You know, when I first did my step four, I was like, okay, where's the result? I want the result. You know, it's like drugs. You know, and, you know, I sort of slowly realized it was sort of a quiet thing. You know, there's quiet, I can't describe it, but I hope that people know what I mean. I mean, it's when sort of pennies drop. And I've had thousands and thousands and thousands of them. And, you know, when my grandmother died in January, it has been a very difficult year with that, and I've had an eviction thing with my flat, a case going on for about 5 years with my family, which has been very difficult. And there's just been so many spiritual gifts with it, and sort of spiritual awakenings with it. And I've sort of grown up a lot of things that I was frightened to do, I'm doing, and a lot of things I was frightened to say, I'm saying, which is sort of, it is freeing, really. It's a relief, because sometimes I really struggle to change. I really, really struggle. You know, I'm like, you know, I go kicking and screaming. You know, and then what happens with me is with the program, I'll work, and then I think, God, you know, this isn't changing, or this isn't happening, or what I want isn't happening, or whatever. And then, you know, I just get on or let go and let God and I'm just... And then suddenly something happens and it's like this whole avalanche of gifts will come. And I think, my God, it is amazing. And I'd like to end... I'll sort of end on that note. And I feel really... I sort of feel bad because I haven't talked about recovery enough. But, you know, I hope... you know, that it's sort of given people something. And, you know, if you are new, just, you know, keep coming back and stuff. And, you know, if you don't like me or what I've heard, you know, there's loads of meetings now, you know, loads and loads and loads. The fellowship has blossomed. And, you know, all the tools they say about work, you know, pick up phone, sponsors, service, all that stuff. And I'm very grateful to be here and for everyone and to be clean. Thank you.